Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza, and for today, we are touching on the economy, what's happening at the household level, talking to the team that puts together the Altron FinTech Household Resilience Index, that is the AFRI. They recently, released results for the fourth quarter of 2024, the headline there is that they're confirming a modest improvement in the financial position of households, mainly due to three cuts of 25 basis points each on the repo rate between September 2024 and January 2025. To help us to make sense of what's going on, we are joined by economist Dr. Roelof Botha, who is no stranger to this platform, just to unpack the results of the AFRI for us. Dr. Botha, greetings to you.
Yes, hello everybody.
Dr. Botha, we spoke to you just a couple of months ago when the results from the last AFRI came out. And it's always interesting, tracking some of these indexes on an ongoing basis, because you almost get to see in as real time as we can possibly get what's actually happening in the economy. Any highlights for you that you'd want to, perhaps point out as we begin, as a jumping off point to say from the last time that we spoke, to now, what are the main things that have driven or changed the AFRI, between the last print and this print?
Yes, there has been an improvement, but it needs to be taken with a pinch of salt. To quote the managing director of Altron FinTech, Johan Gerritli, it is clear that the financial situation of your average household in South Africa has improved, but they are still under pressure, mainly because of the fact that our interest rates are still way too high. As far as I'm concerned, and as far as Johan Gerritli is concerned. And this is quite interesting, just to point out something. The year-on-year increase in the Altron FinTech Index of Household Resilience, AFRI for short, was 2.9%. Now, that looks quite impressive because it's way above what the GDP did of South Africa. And this indicator, this 2.9%, is in real terms. That has been adjusted for inflation. But we cannot, in this index, we cannot adjust for seasonal influences. For some of them, we may be able to do that, but not for all. So we've decided to stick to, it is a real increase, but it's not seasonally adjusted. So for an index like this, which measures the ability of households to spend money, and to do that, you have to generate money. So we've selected 20 different indicators, all of whom have a direct or an indirect bearing on a household's ability to generate income, whether that's salaries, commission, rent, interest, profits, dividends, possibly also some stuff which is not necessarily legitimate, but let's not go there. We don't have any proof of that. We just look at the macro figure. So 2.9%. But let's quickly put this in perspective. The biggest movers in the index have been lump sum withdrawals from previous savings. And that is obviously good for your average household in the short term, because you've got more cash in your pocket. You've withdrawn from your savings a certain amount of money, 5,000, 10,000 rand, whatever the case may be. But it's not good for your long-term savings. It's detrimental to your long-term insurance. And what it essentially means is that somewhere in future, you're going to have to, these people will have to supplement their income by, I don't know, working overtime, getting a night job, not retiring at 60 or at 65, whatever the case may be. So it's looking better than it should be. So I've gone to the trouble of fleecing out the impact of these two-pot system withdrawals. And if you do that, then it only increased by 1.4%, which is still better than the GDP. So we're not complaining, but we need more interest rate cuts, and we need them desperately.
I remember the last time that we spoke, Dr. Botha, that was one of the big things that you did highlight, that monetary policy, you know, is still out of pace with what the economy needs, and that the cuts haven't come hard and fast enough, as yet for us to perhaps stimulate things to the point that we need. Do you think, see and feel that the MPC has perhaps softened or adjusted their stance, or do you sort of see them still holding firm to the path that they had already gone down of slow easing when it comes to those interest rate cuts?
Well, I certainly cannot speak on behalf of the Monetary Policy Committee. I just wish that they had been in my lectures. I've been lecturing for a better part of 5 decades at various of South Africa's best universities, which has been a privilege. But it does seem as if the MPC does not fully appreciate the most important economic objective of this country at this point in time in our history, and that is to create jobs. And you do that through stimulating growth. It's very difficult to do that if you have inhibitively high interest rates, because we have the highest cost of capital, venture capital, probably in the world of any notable economy out there. And it is a huge problem. For the life of me, I do not understand why they halted the rate cutting cycle in March. The tariff war is does not affect us at this point in time. If they do decide to raise tariffs on South African exports to the United States, it will hurt us, certainly. It's our second biggest trading partner, export trading partner, and listen to this carefully, this is the caveat, for high value-added exports. And by that, I mean everything except metals and minerals, because the Chinese are obviously our biggest trading partner, but they're only interested in our coal and iron ore, quite frankly, mainly. And our macadamias and our pecan nuts, I assume. We may have a huge opportunity with some agricultural products there. But getting back to the issue of the interest rates, it seems to me as if the MPC is forever looking for a new excuse not to lower interest rates. And what they don't apparently appreciate is that there is not sufficient demand in our economy. The only time when you should raise interest rates is if you have demand inflation. And demand inflation has been absent from this economy for 15 years, thanks to state capture, thanks to insufficient growth, and thanks to extremely high interest rates ever since Jill Marcus, the previous governor of the Reserve Bank, retired, which was such a pity. And I just want to put this in perspective. I've got to do this. During her 5-year term of office, the average real prime rate, now this is not intimidating maths. You take the prime rate, which is currently 11%, you deduct the consumer inflation rate from that, which is 2.7, and you arrive at a figure of 8.3. So South Africa's real prime rate, after adjustment for inflation, is 8.3%. During Jill Marcus's term of office, it was 3.1%. That is almost a 170% increase in the cost of capital and of credit. And if your interest rates are too high, and I think many of the listeners will appreciate this, it acts like a tax on venture capital. Because, let me illustrate just briefly, if someone, a business owner with a franchise or two, thinking of opening a new franchise, he saved a bit of money from his profits, and he's now faced with two options. Either to open a new franchise, he's faced immediately with intimidating rules and regulations, most of them race-based. And on the other hand, he can invest his money into government bonds and earn between 10 and 11%, double-digit rates. It just becomes too easy not to implement venture capital in an economy. Deregulation and high interest rates are the enemies of venture capitalism, which is the driver of growth in every free enterprise economy. And it seems as if our MPC have got, you know, maybe they studied economics there near the Kremlin, because it doesn't fit our purpose in South Africa.
Yeah, it's quite a tough situation to be in. The South African Reserve Bank having been famous in the last couple of years for their dovish stance in many instances, and just listening to you, one would I guess surmise that is one of the things that is perhaps holding back that path to recovery happening at a faster pace than what we would expect, and not in line with some of the key trading partners, like what you were saying right now, and thereby also then making the cost of the cost of capital quite prohibitively expensive for a number of people that need those lines of credit or that are relying on those lines of credit, either at a household level or at a business level, to be operating. So, it is a tough one from that point of view. However, just noting, the fact that this is the third consecutive, increase in the AFRI that we've seen on a quarter-to-quarter basis. What are the green shoots, as far as you can see, the things that are going right outside of the slow interest rate cutting? What are the things that are going right for households right now? You did point to some of the impact and positive impact of, the two-pot withdrawals earlier on, but is there anything else that you could perhaps point us to as saying, okay, fine, there are other things that are perhaps boding well for households right now?
Yes, I just need to make one point clear, and that is that I've got nothing against the Reserve Bank as such in terms of its regulatory role. It's on top of its game. I mean, most of the functions at the Reserve Bank, if not all of them, are done expertly. My only concern is with the Monetary Policy Committee. And for the life of me, I do not understand why there are not senior economists from National Treasury, the bottom trading industry, and the private sector, who are also part of the composition of the Monetary Policy Committee, because they are political appointments. And I have pleaded with government that they should change the composition of the Monetary Policy Committee to also include a broader basket of economists with maybe a slightly better understanding of South Africa's economic situation right now. Inflation is not our problem. Unemployment is our problem, and that can be solved to some extent with lower interest rates. But getting back to your question, well formulated, yes, there's good news as well. The best possible news that you can find in our economy is employment growth, especially in the private sector. And that has been forthcoming. Also, salaries in the private sector in real terms have increased on a year-on-year and a quarter-on-quarter basis. So these are good signs. If one looks at one of the indicators, the Better Bond House Price Index, that has also started to improve in real terms, 0.2% year-on-year, which is not a great shakes, but on a quarter-on-quarter basis, 1.2%. And that is pretty closely aligned to Stats SA's residential property price index. So there are certainly green shoots out there, but it is as if the whole market is waiting. The economy is just waiting for the next interest rate cut. And with a bit of luck, it will be forthcoming in a couple of weeks' time when the MPC sits again. But I don't trust them, I must be quite honest. I fear for consumers. It's looking better than a year ago. Maybe that's, in a nutshell, what one can say.
Just keen to get your sense, if we maybe zoom out a bit, because I remember when we're looking at some of these results, some of this data, it's always through the rearview mirror. that we're looking at this stuff. And right now we are saying, you know, this is the activity for the fourth quarter of 2024. The last time we spoke, we were, I guess, anticipating, you know, what the impact of the interest of the consecutive interest rate cuts was going to be, as well as, you know, tied together with some of the two-pot, which is, you know, clearly coming through and showing itself here. But if we zoom out a bit to what's happening now and we take a little bit of a forward view to say the next one that then comes out is the first quarter of 2025 results. Everyone is worried right now. Tariffs. That's the big thing, you know, everyone is talking about. Do we anticipate any of that stuff showing up, you know, in the AFRI, in the, you know, perhaps first or second quarter for 2025? Or does that, you know, perhaps stay at the macro level and doesn't filter down to the micro level as much? Just your thoughts on that, linking to what's currently going on right now.
It's because of the fact that we've got 20 indicators in here, which include the values of unit trust assets, long-term insurance claims paid, civil debt defaults, the reciprocal, the ratio of household wealth to income, household disposable income, employment, public sector, annuities received. It's 20 different indicators. So that's what I like about the Altron FinTech Index. It's absolutely comprehensive. And it's weighted according to a model that has been determined by Altron FinTech and myself and some other researchers. So, but because of the fact that we cannot seasonally adjust the data, it is important to also look at the full quarter average. We always have a spike. It didn't occur during COVID and immediately after, but that was mayhem. But under normal conditions, under non-pandemic conditions, the Altron FinTech Index will tend to spike in the fourth quarter for one simple reason. And that is that a lot of South Africans in the formal sector get Christmas bonuses or year-end bonuses, whatever they want to call it. They spend money. And what happened this year is they dipped into the two-pot system and got some extra cash, and it looked fantastic. Now, in the first quarter, I'm afraid things hardly ever look fantastic because now there's a hangover from the Christmas shopping spree. There's no Black Friday and Cyber Monday. And there's no bonuses. So it's going to dip. I mean, I can tell you now, it's going to dip. But one has to look at the individual indices. As long as employment continues to increase, we have seen in the private sector a substantial increase in capital formation, especially also in construction, which is the most labor-intensive sector of the economy. So with a bit of luck, if one takes these considerations into account and you look at the four-quarter average, because that eliminates this seasonal effect of the fourth quarter, because the fourth quarter will be in every single four-quarter average. You know, the maths is not terribly intimidating. So if we look at the four-quarter average, there's a good chance that we will still remain on an even keel, and then it sort of progresses as we go on along the year. But what worries me is that we've had a rough first quarter, you know, with the U.S. tariffs, with the uncertainty over the GNU and the budget, you know, three attempts, first time ever that we've had a scenario like this. But I'd like to believe that things have calmed down now a little bit, and that from the second quarter onwards, we would see maybe higher growth, especially if we can get the next interest rate cut in May. And I'm pleading with the MPC, please make it a 50 basis points this time. Thank you very much.
keen to get your sense as we end off, Dr. Botha, to say all of this stuff that's happening, right? Like you said, it's not in a vacuum. One thing affects another, and that's the cyclical nature of you know, I guess, the economy and how interconnected things tend to be. But right now, based on the fact that your interest rates are still, you know, relatively elevated, you've got all of this, you know, tariff stuff going on, households continuing to be, you know, under pressure, like you said, at the same time, being cognizant of the fact that you don't have some of those seasonal things happening, your Black Fridays, the festive season, and all of that. What do you think the current environment has done in terms of where households are currently sitting? Do you anticipate, of course, we're expecting that, we'll have another rate cut, and we're hoping it's going to be a big one, like what you said, 50 basis points, who knows, maybe even more. But at that, right now, the mindset at the household level, do you anticipate that households right now are going to be spending more or just holding off on making any, crazy purchase decisions, any, getting into any crazy levels of debt, that type of thing, just holding off and just waiting to see what happens, or does it continue being business as usual at household level because life must go on, as they say?
Yes, the three cuts that we've had are welcome. It's not remotely enough, but it has certainly placed your average household in a much better position. And the two-pot system, if one just, if individual households just manage their withdrawals in a very responsible way, has certainly, given them a bit of a lifeline for some stuff, when the car breaks down and things like that. And I don't think the average household is going to be terribly perturbed by, global developments and tariff wars between China, mainly China and the US, and getting on with business, quite frankly. And an indicator which is terribly important, which is not included in ours because it is indirectly, I suppose, is the drive.co.za motor index. This is a unique company in the sense that it's the only one in South Africa that delivers a car on your doorstep. You don't own it, they own it. And it takes away all the hassles of ownership, and it doesn't cost you much more than if you were to finance it yourself. And that index is heading north at a rate. Maybe some people anticipated a VAT increase and they decided to buy their new cars now because the new car sales is one of the major components of that drive .co.za index. And then obviously also household expenditure. We've had an exceptionally good first quarter as far as retail trade sales are concerned. And this tells me that, who knows, maybe the informal sector, which is not always accurately gauged by South Africa Stats SA's data surveys, is more vibrant than we appreciate, but things are looking up. I've just seen that the Stellenbosch Bureau of Economic Research expects South Africa to grow by 2029, with a bit of luck by 3.5%, if the second phase of Operation Vulindlela is successfully implemented, which was announced yesterday. This is really news that I get goosebumps when I talk about this, because this is, is very, very good news. Let's just hope that the cooperation between the private sector and the government of national unity, that this takes off later this year, that we put the budget behind us now and get cracking. We need to fix our roads. We need to broaden. We need to expand Durban-Sahaba. We need to fix the railways. And if we start doing that, then I'm suggesting that we could have 5% growth within the next 2 to 3 years.
Does, maybe just as a quick follow-up, around, some of the forecasts that are there for growth, Moody's ratings cut its expectation for GDP growth for 2025, to 1.5%. Does that color your expectations in any way, or are you still largely positive?
1.5% growth this year is better than last year, and I believe better than the year before that. So I'll take it. But if we get cracking on the infrastructure maintenance and fixing our logistics infrastructure, construction is the most labor-intensive sector of the economy, then we can maybe edge up to 2%. It's not impossible. I'd say 1.5% is a fairly sort of middle of the road approach, and as long as it's positive, I suppose, and as long as, very importantly, we continue to create jobs, we are seeing also in the fund management industry that things are really looking up. There are on the on the investment side, where that focuses on South African equities, the returns have been spectacular in the last 4 to 5 years. We've seen that the Optimum Investment Group as well. They've recently won the Citywire Award. I think they made 14% per annum over a 5-year period for the investors, and this is this is real money. And by the way, the benchmark for the industry wasn't much lower than that. Quite frankly, it's a very competitive sector there. So things are certainly looking up, and let's get cracking and do some work and make it easier for businesses to start businesses.
All right. That's how we end off today's discussion. It has been good just getting a sense from Dr. Botha what's going on in terms of the economy, but more specifically at household level. You would have heard at the beginning of the conversation talking about the fact that we saw a modest improvement in the financial position of SA households due to those consecutive cuts that we have seen between September and January. However, one of the big themes coming out from today's discussion is simply to say perhaps this could be sped up, just so that the country can get on its recovery at a faster pace that had been there. However, they do speak about the fact that, those 3 quarters, of improvement do show that things are headed in the right direction, which is a good indicator and is something that is at least positive. Also getting a sense of what some of the current conditions may or may not do for that, AFRI going forward. One of the big things that Dr. Botha was just pointing out is the fact that we tend to expect the fourth quarter to be, higher than other quarters because of what's happening in the retail market. You've got the likes of Black Friday, the festive season. At the same time, people are also getting bonuses at that time of the year. Plus, 2024 had the addition of withdrawals under the two-pot system. So all of that working to, positively work in. He does anticipate that, we'll have a lower print, which is nothing unusual in the first quarter, just, coming off of a high base in the fourth. But he does say that some of that may be exacerbated to an extent by what's happening in terms of tariffs and all of that. But we wait to see what the full impact is going to be going forward. Also getting a sense of how some of the growth expectations are, working into some of the valuations that are happening. But at the moment, a lot of, indicators, pointing to a higher growth print for 2025, which is good. Even if it's just marginally above, positive growth is positive nonetheless. So that's been it for today's discussion. We were in conversation with Dr. Roelof Botha, who is economic advisor to Optimum Investment Group, and he is helping and has compiled the Altron FinTech Household in the Resilience Index, otherwise known as the AFRI. Dr. Botha, thank you so much for being with us. Definitely looking forward to catching up with you when the next print comes out.
Thanks for having me. Yes, take care.
And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcast on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.